Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here in the studio, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is on location somewhere in Greater Youngstown. Are you there, Steve?
Oh,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We got them coming in by satellite.
Satellite, yeah. I think I'm up around Greenland right now.
Yeah. Well, Gift of Grace Ministries, we have the utmost in modern technology.
Yeah.
And we have a whole engineering staff just working on this show. So, anyways.
People up north.
This is the first show of the new year.
It is.
Yes. And I hope you all had an awesome Christmas. An awesome nativity of the Messiah that you celebrated. And I hope you had a happy new year. And here we are in 2019, which is really hard to believe. And I know Steve's been working hard doing music ministry this entire season and probably still doing it, right?
You got it.
And since today is actually January 6th, which is the Epiphany, thought maybe we should talk about the Magi, since this today is going to kind of close out the Christmas season.
Well, we got one more week.
At midnight tonight, right?
No, the baptism of the Lord, the following Sunday.
Oh, man. But it'll close out the 12 days of Christmas. But anyway, it's an interesting point because we don't know a lot about the Magi. We don't really even know how many there were. We assume that there were three because there were three gifts, but there might have been five with three gifts, and there might have been, you know, 10 with three gifts. You know, if they all chipped in for gifts, maybe they only had enough for three gifts. But somebody recently sent me a cartoon that there was a fourth wise man who got turned away for bringing fruitcake. So we don't know if that's true or not. But anyway.
I think that was in the footnotes.
Yeah. That's only in the ancient texts.
I think that was one of the scribes. They got it. They got a fruitcake first. Yeah. They put it down.
Yeah. But even though we don't know much about the Magi, one thing we do know is that they were not Jews, which is a very important point. They were Gentiles, and they did not live in the immediate area. They lived probably at least a few hundred miles away, and which raises a very interesting point that now that Messiah has been born, and as the angel was singing that it's good news for all nations, not particularly all angels, but it was good news for all nations, not just Israel at the time. And so all nations, meaning it's going to be good news also for the Gentiles. So here comes these three. Let's just assume there's three. Here come these three Gentiles from somewhere that are looking for not only the King of the Jews, but they point out that they're there to worship him, which is a pretty amazing thing, as we're going to see, because Steve's going to read in a minute from Matthew chapter 2, so you can turn to it. But they indicate to Herod that they're going to find this baby, and they came to worship him. These Gentiles from far away. And before Steve reads, I just wanted to point out in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 3 to 7, you can read for your homework, Paul points out that one of the great mystery of the ages was hidden until now, meaning when he was writing, that the Gentiles were going to be co-heirs with the Jews in the kingdom. Paul calls this a great mystery. And here we are, we don't know how long after the birth this was, but here we are with these three obviously important Gentiles coming not only to find this baby, but to worship him and bring gifts.
That is very true.
Yeah. Do you want to add anything before you read?
It's interesting because how did they know about this?
Yeah.
How did they... You know, what caused them to, or how did they find out about there was this newborn king? And what made him so special, this newborn king so special, that they traveled this distance to worship him?
Yeah.
You know, and how do they find out about it? How do they come to understand that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a great mystery as to, you know, we hear the story every year. We recount it every year. But it still remains a mystery that we just kind of take for granted that, okay, yeah, they came and there's the three wise men and we, you know, they bring their gifts and they present them to the Lord. But from their perspective or from for them, how did they come to that place of coming there and wanting to bring gifts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they were educated people, and, you know, in some translations they're called astrologers, and astrology, right, of course, is absolutely forbidden in the Torah. And they felt that the appearance of a new star meant that a great king was being born, which was from their astrological background. But at the same time, in this case, it was true, and they seem to have some knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures because they're waiting for the king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much written about how they would have known all this or
right,
how they would have figured this out. But one thing is for sure is they showed up, as we're going to see in Matthew chapter 2. So, Steve, you want to read? Just start reading there at the beginning of 2.
Sure. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
Ooh, let's pause there for a second. So that's really interesting. So they're coming to worship him, and they get to Jerusalem, figuring everybody's going to be all excited about this new king being born. And they find out that nobody is at all as excited about this new king being born. They don't even seem to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when Herod, he was a puppet king, he was an Edomite, he was a half-Jew, he was a, you know, he did a lot of stuff too. The Romans put him in power, and he expanded the temple, he built the Western Wall, and he was kind of a public relations guy. But he certainly wasn't very spiritual from all accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he married his brother's wife, and then he had John the Baptist killed later. No, that was the next Herod. Never mind. Sorry. That was his son, the other Herod. But this Herod, he asked to ask the Jewish leaders, where's the Messiah to be born? Because these guys are talking about finding this newborn king. And the leaders tell him Bethlehem of Judah because of Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. They know that scripture. Herod doesn't know the scripture, but you notice that they don't hesitate to say where Messiah is going to be born. They don't have
right.
to, they don't have to look it up. They don't have to Google it. They don't have to run back to the temple and say, "We'll get back to you on that." They know this right off the bat. And that's pretty neat because Bethlehem is about, you know, 8 or 9 miles from where these people are standing around talking. You want to say something about that?
Well, it is interesting that without hesitation, they've just proclaimed this to Herod. This is where he's to be born at.
Yeah.
And like you said, they know it. But
yeah. And these guys come figuring all of Jerusalem is going to be excited because the king's been born. And Herod doesn't really like this very much because, after all, he's the king of the Jews.
Yeah.
And his son, who's going to be the next Herod, might be standing there going, "Wait a minute. After this Herod dies, I'm going to be the king of the Jews. So I don't know what they're talking about, but we don't like it."
Mm-hmm. Well, they come there with great anticipation. And probably some expecting jubilation there, but they find none.
Yes.
They, you know, Herod and all the people there are, from the account, seem puzzled as to what they're talking about, even though the high priest or the priest, even though they recite what's to happen, and yet they don't realize that it's happening in their midst.
Yes.
They're not recognizing it.
Yes. And it point out the short distance to Bethlehem, because as we've said before, these three magi, these three Gentiles, came from some very long distance, which in those days would have been a pretty uncomfortable journey, riding on a camel. Presumably they were riding on a camel, or even if they were in some kind of a carriage or something, you have to imagine this would be a pretty uncomfortable journey. And if they came a few hundred miles,
roads?
Yeah, I don't know if they had paved roads there or not. I don't know if the Roman roads went that far.
And, the roads would not have been paved. They were dirt roads.
Right.
They would have been bumpy. It would have been a hard trip.
Yeah. Desert land.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, let's say it's 500 or 600 miles. You know, to us, we say, oh, well, you know, we could probably do that drive in 8 to 10 hours. But for these guys, it would have been a pretty rough journey. And interestingly, as the thing turns out, as we're going to see when you read the next section, they've come all this distance on a very difficult journey, and then they go to Bethlehem to actually find the baby.
Yeah.
The Herod, the religious leaders, the people that have all the scrolls, have all the scriptures, have the temple, have all the stuff, who are waiting for Messiah, know all the prophecies, don't go 8 or 9 miles to go see what happened there.
Yeah.
And when I was thinking about this last night, what dawned on me was this kind of prefigures what was going to happen with Messiah Jesus, Yeshua, in the very near future. Gentiles were going to go and were going to find him, and Jews, for the most part, were not going to go and find him. And these magi kind of prefigure that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is that, as you were saying, the journey for them would have been a difficult journey. It wouldn't have been just an easy journey. But they were traveling for some time, because in the account, Herod ascertains that they were probably traveling a little less than 2 years, because he has children, every firstborn male under 2 years old, killed. Mm-hmm. To try
yes.
to squash this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If they were only traveling for half, 6 months, most likely he probably would have had the children that were 1 year old killed, but he has them, two and under, they were put to death.
Yeah.
Because he was, this was a threat to him and his position of authority.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And,
Imagine traveling by camel for that period of time to find this newborn king, and there is no fanfare and there is no anticipation from the people that you came to see.
Yeah, and they ask Herod, they ask the leaders, where is he? There's no question in their mind that he's been born.
Yeah,
there's no question in their mind about that this is some kind of that this is not some kind of future prophecy, that he's actually been born. And here, the other thing I was thinking of the other night is this kind of is a reflection, too, of they're looking for Christ. They're looking for the Messiah. They're searching for him, like many of us were, many of us are. Many people out there listening may or may not be searching. But here's people searching for the Messiah, and the people that should have led them to the Messiah don't do it. And when I was thinking about that, I thought to myself, we know where the Messiah is, and do we tell people where he is, where he can be found? People who are seeking, do we tell them how to find him? A lot of times we don't. A lot of times we don't pick up on that because we're too busy. Yeah. We don't want to be bothered with this. We don't want to talk to this guy because we're in a hurry to get somewhere else. That sort of thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, if somebody comes up to you, you know, how often do people come up to you and ask you, hey, can you tell me about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our day and age, that's a rarity.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Well, in our culture anyway, there's parts of the world where that isn't a rarity.
Yes. Yes.
But you're right. Would we take the time to tell them all about Jesus and where they can find him?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And these religious leaders, you know, it's hard for us to imagine because we live in a totally different time. But if you go to Jerusalem today, you still see these guys. And I say guys because they're, you know, women don't do it. Well, men have to do it. Women aren't supposed to do it or don't have to do it. But these Sanhedrin, Pharisee, teacher type people, they spend their whole life doing nothing but studying the scripture. That's all they do. And you would think that when you've studied the scripture for your whole life, you would know all the prophecies that would have to do with Messiah coming. And, you know, one of them is found even way back in Genesis where, we're not going to take the time to read it because the show goes really fast, but, you know, Jacob says as he's dying and blessing his sons that, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the King is going to come from Judah, and he's going to be the Lion of Judah, and he's going to come when the scepter, meaning the royal power, has departed from Judah. And at this point, the scepter had departed from Judah because the Romans were in control.
Yeah.
And that plus the idea of the Micah prophecy about Bethlehem and, you know, so many other things that we can't get into all of that today and talk about the Magi. These guys who were the leaders and the students of the scripture should have really started to put some stuff together. And at least one of them could have said, well, let's go over there and see what's going on.
Well, right. When the Romans came into power there in Jerusalem, that should have alerted them that the time was near.
Yes. And a lot of people that thought John the Baptist was the Christ because of that whole scenario where they thought the time for Messiah had to be very near. Mm-hmm. And so which they were right. And a lot of them started by asking John the Baptist, are you the Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And he has to keep telling them no. But, you know, it's interesting here because the Jews know the prophecy. They don't act on it. These three Gentiles know the time that the star showed up and know that the star is important and know that there's a king, and they have come to pay homage to him and to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
So Gentiles have that. The Jews have the prophecy and they don't go.
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, when the 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back and gave glory to God. And Jesus says, is there none but this foreigner that came back to glorify God?
Yes.
The other, though, there was only one Gentile. The other one were supposedly Jewish.
Yeah.
So you find over and over in the scriptures where those who did not know him seek him.
Yes.
And those did not, you know, and they find him.
Yes.
So it's very interesting. It's very interesting that with all the prophecy that is there and all that they understood of the scriptures, that they didn't see this. You know, their eyes were and their senses were just blinded to it.
Still. Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking as you were saying that is that kind of applies to us in a way too, that even if nobody else goes with us, we have to go to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if the three of us go, even if two of us go, even if you're the only one who goes, you know, you have to go and do it despite what everybody else is doing. So if everybody else is saying, that's nothing, I can't believe you're wasting your time with that. You know, you're not supposed to say, well, yeah, I guess those guys are right. I'm kind of wasting my time with this. You still have to go worship him. And these guys were determined to go.
Well, and I was just going to say, that's exactly what the Magi do, is once they have their little meeting with Herod and the high priest and the Sanhedrin, they continue on their journey. They continue on the journey to find the Christ. They don't stop and go, wow, you know, we traveled all this way, we've been at it for a long time. There's nobody, they don't know who, what we're talking about. They kind of do, but they're not interested in it. There's like no celebration going on here. Maybe we just turn around and go back home and just forget about it. They don't say anything like that. They continue on their journey a little bit further and they find the Christ child.
Yeah. They could have got a hotel for the night and gone back the next day.
Water their camels and giddy up for the next, you know.
Yeah, but they don't. They're determined to get there. They've got the gifts. There's no question in their mind that they have to go there and pay homage to him.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, as they were leaving, if they were saying to themselves, what's with these guys? You know, this is their Messiah. This is their king, and they're not even interested.
Yeah. You know, and even more important than the meeting with Herod is when they actually find the Christ child.
Yes.
They enter the household, and they see the child with Mary, his mother, and they prostrate themselves, and they do him homage.
Yes.
And they open their treasures and offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yes. And
so they're faithful to what their calling had been or is, and they follow through on their journey.
Yeah. And these guys are wealthy. They're used to living in really nice places. They're obviously very well educated. And they come to this place that's pretty much of a dump with uneducated people. I mean, Mary and Joseph were nice, but they weren't very educated. They didn't live in really nice places. And here's this king that they've come to find who we don't know where they are at this point, but they're certainly not living in a beautiful luxury resort or some palace or something. They're in some dumpy place. And I don't know if it's the original stable or not, but these guys are not concerned at all with the poverty of the picture. They know that this is who they've been coming to see. This is who they were coming to find and worship. And they don't say, man, you know, Mary and Joseph, well, what are you guys doing in this dump? Why don't we get you a nicer place to live? They don't even care about that. And they give their gifts, which of course have tremendous meaning, you know, have a lot of meaning in themselves, but they give the gifts despite the circumstances where they find this baby.
Yeah, and you know, it's almost, you know, when you encounter the Lord, whatever is in your surroundings doesn't matter at that point in time.
Exactly.
When you encounter the presence of God, everything else doesn't really matter. It's just like, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. When you're encountering the Lord, his presence overwhelms you.
Yes.
And all that other stuff becomes nothing.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of things in this short passage with these three Gentiles. And it's, you know, back in the book of Numbers, which is one of my favorite books, number 24:17, where the Moabite king is trying to get Balaam to curse the Israelites.
Yeah.
24:17, he says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. So when this guy said, we saw his star rising, those Pharisees should have said, wow, that might be Numbers 24:17, because a star is going to come out of Jacob. But no, they don't do that. And not a one of them goes to investigate the situation.
Nope. Not a one.
Not a one. So this is a great story. And then, of course, they go back by a different route because this creep Herod says, let me know where he is so I can come and worship him too.
Yeah.
The music's playing already.
It is.
Wow. Well, I hope you are all having an awesome Lord's Day and an awesome Epiphany Day.
And we just pray that as the wise men sought the Christ child, that you too would seek the Christ child, that he would dwell in your heart and in your life, and that he is your Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.